All right, once again, Mark Stanton Welch here. This is Tools for the Times. We are starting block four, the fourth and final block of this 28-session series. My, oh, my, what a journey it's been. So tonight's session number one in block four is on accessing and using guidance, both important elements because without the accessing, one couldn't use it. Without the accessing, the using won't take place. So it's a mutually serving frequency of activity. So I'm just going to take a breath here. I was working right up to the end with this and that. There was a, I ended up having to rebuild the office computer and had to follow a whole lot of guidance in that process because I ended up doing a lot of things that I had really never done. Thank God for YouTube, the great Savior, the great Spirit, the source of all that is. Some may consider it's the manifestation and expression of what's called the Akashic Record, where we have direct access to everything we possibly could want and a huge variety of options. It is kind of akin to guidance in general, and to make a point, because that's worth exploring a little more tonight. Okay, let me put that down. Internet. All right. And the Akash. Okay, so I ended up having to completely reinstall the program, my beautiful program, after I rebuilt the hard drive, put a new one in, completely fresh install of the operating system, and the computer is working beautifully. Got ready to post everything and then realized being a new drive and a new, all of the settings for posting were not included. So I had to go out of that program, out of that particular operating system, reboot the computer to go back into the old version, which I wisely kept on another drive, and then access the codes and all that was necessary. So I got there at 6:59. It just got posted. So I don't know if you actually have access to the page. You'll notice with the fourth block, we have a bit of a new color scheme, something a bit different, moving up to the higher colors because this is about guidance and following those frequencies. So I brought in blue, found a bunch of pictures. Looks like we only got half of one picture there. I wonder why that is. Let me refresh the page. Good grief. Okay. Well, things happen. Let me go back and see what that is. I have the program open right here. Interesting. Okay. So I'm just going to ignore the fact that half of that top picture is there, and I'll make sure that I get my people on it so that it will be all set by the time you get the link to the call at some point tomorrow. So let me get back there. I was distracted by that. So suffice it to say that in the spirit of guidance and in the spirit of the Tools for the Times, I hope you're beginning to see and perhaps you're experiencing the fact that, you know, we do what we do and we do what's in front of us. That, as far as quote-unquote advice for living, would be one of the best things we could possibly do. Because all things point to the fact that nothing here is a random experience and that there is activity going that is directed really by us and our higher self to make certain things happen. And to happen in a beautiful sequence, in a beautiful order that reflects how we respond to life in the moment. So looking at guidance, looking at accessing guidance and using guidance involves us again, just like we did with the heart in the last two sessions, where we begin to incorporate a lot of elements that we've learned so far and elements that we've used. Because the higher we get in our frequency, the more quickly life will show up. And what that means is that there's a trust and a kind of a cooperative relationship that says because you, I, are in a higher vibration, that means that we're able to integrate, respond to, work with, and move through, into and through and out of these elements that keep coming more quickly, these forms of living. And what that seems to translate, especially with the old Piscean part of ourselves, is that it can pretty easily become somewhat overwhelming. Well, we know by now that overwhelm is strictly a response to an emotional response triggered by probably a lot of debris that we are still in the process of letting go. Overwhelm isn't really one of the basic emotions, but it's a combination of elements that moves between fear, anxiety, which isn't really one of the emotions, that's more of an energy, and anger and frustration, which kind of is a solar plexus sacral process, thus causing us to lose a bit of our foundation. And so that's occurring a lot right now. I want to give homage to and great appreciation to the beautiful man, Glenn Frey, who transitioned, member, lead singer, one of the singers, one of the main guys in the Eagles, just enjoyed their music for the bulk of my life, sang those songs many, many times. There's a lot of shifts and changes that are occurring. Some of it is reflecting the abusive life that many have led. And so interestingly, as I think we pointed out last time, that those who are connected with heart in tradition were usually more creative people. They were artists, they were musicians, they were people who were into philosophies and perhaps some of the higher frequency religions and the forms. And quite honestly, the accepted nature of those was often that they burned themselves up quickly. And the old homage of, or the old adage of sex, drugs, and rock and roll applied to many of the arts, where there was excessive living, perhaps with the idea that the more one lived and the more grist one had for their own meal that they could actually put onto the canvas or put onto the paper and perform with. The sad thing about that is that it's dealing with the sacral chakra energy and the solar plexus energy that really is akin to all of us, that we all have the capacity for incessant and infinite creative process without having the extremes. The thing is once that we clear the energy enough to get back to the template, which is what we've been doing through this course, then we are at a point where we are able to access the design, which then gives us the keys to the kingdom in terms of creativity, in terms of capacity, in terms of learning, in terms of being connected, in terms of being following, accessing and following guidance and acting upon that guidance. So it's just too bad we didn't learn these things in kindergarten. You know, sure, it was nice to share the milk and, you know, ask, say, please and thank you. Those are all wonderful things that make us as humans and as beings get along cooperatively and feel loved by one another. Yeah, and I'm kind of joking with this, but on the one hand, he's got a text and it threw me off. See how guidance happens? Good grief. Okay, see, that's the thing. The life comes in these moments and delivers us these messages that trigger one certain element, and then we have to breathe into it, and then it's not that I got a bad text or anything. It just distracted me from my train of thought there. I'll have to go back and listen to the recording and then pick it up next week. That was a joke, too. What I'm saying is that the act of following guidance is a process that we have developed, and it's in our hands to do so. As creative people that we are becoming, we then have access to all of the tools. And that is what we are about. Okay, so enough of that intro. Still curious why this picture is only showing up. It's almost like it's a lewd picture that's been covered up. Well, I assure you that it's not. So here we are, but just take a look at those pictures. You basically have a woman who's on a rock looking up at that access of the divine inspiration coming through the dove. We have a child in the cosmos, which I think is a beautiful process, because I've actually started working with the inner child mentoring with several people, and I'm very excited about the course. I'm paying particular attention to images that come in involving children, so very excited. That's a beautiful image of a child who's open. Guidance doesn't always drop in from above, as we'll begin to see tonight. Down at the bottom, you're going to have access to actually several players, ascended masters, who we will be exploring more in depth, not in this session, but more in one that's devoted directly to the etheric beings and the ascended masters later in this fourth block. But you're seeing Mother Mary and one artist's rendition of that frequency. you're seeing a crossroads here with the tree in the center in the purple grass that is reflected down in the color of the bar. You're seeing Krishna, and you're seeing a traditional process of accessing guidance, which is through a formal or informal meditative process. So that's the beauty of the variety of guidance. Now, too often, the person meditating is the preferred, or at least the supported or taught main form of accessing guidance. And that may have been so in the past, and it may still be so for some of us. But we'll look a little bit at that tonight and start to see the various methodologies that can be used to actually tune into guidance. There's misconceptions about what guidance is, where it comes from, what the sources are, how it's accessed, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be looking at all of that. The point of the picture with the tree and the crossroads is that really up at the top, we have sections called What is Guidance? Making Contact, Listening, Taking Action, Guidance from Earthly Kingdoms, Guidance from the Moments of Living, Guidance from the Higher Self and DNA, Guidance from Your Frequency Aligned Beings, Guidance from Higher Etheric Beings, and the Oneness Soup. This road picture, crossroads, is referring to Guidance from the Moments of Living. I would go as far to say as this is one of the key elements about how we can completely be in tune with the moment and allow ourselves to flow without hesitation if we begin to trust the forms of the moment and how they show up for us and then respond to those. I think the track is, in a sense, well laid out by a higher self that functions over time to give us our own particular keys to our, you know, to the car home. And too often we don't pay attention because we have been programmed to do other things. So we're going to look at what is guidance tonight. We're going to look at making contact, listening, taking action. We're going to look also at guidance from the earthly kingdoms, and I'm going to refer to the moments of living and flesh that out a bit. I will touch briefly on the other three, but not to a point that we'll have actual support information for those. Those will be the foundation of next week's course as we go more into additional activities. So let me go ahead and start over here, read a little bit about how the introduction of this is and what came through, and then we have a few little chants and songs that I want to do to prepare our energetic field. It is a curious thing, this guidance. There is a confusing relationship with asking for, receiving, and using the inspiration that comes by virtue of being an energetic being in a constantly changing atmosphere. On one hand, we are encouraged to be self-made, and there is a definite contingent of people living out the, I can do everything and I will do it myself. And there are those who are hesitant, afraid, and even immobilized by the very thought of changing or moving beyond the current forms of their lives. So those are the two extremes on one hand. Two elements of us and places with all the variations in between about how we can work with this notion of guidance. And there's a wash of religious dogma that promotes spiritual middlemen because we are supposed to believe that we have no direct access to cosmic divine source. This was the fall of man, really, if you want to look at it in those terms. Thus, it is a power struggle where the path becomes do as you are directed, make no personal adjustments, and all will be safe and well. God forbid, literally, that you make efforts that attempt access. It can make you grow hair on your palms. Don't know who that channeling came from, but obviously it was there. I think it's a Catholic reference, but nevertheless. So at the time when the traditional programming is being exposed as false doctrine, for the most part, we dangle between the how it has been and the awakening knowing that we are starting on a grand, expansive adventure. The universe is reaching out a hand, always has been. Will you take it this time and free up the conduits of guidance set in place by design, or not? Last week I introduced that little chant that I made up in the woods up in working with a bunch of teenagers. I see the waiting hand, yeah. I take the waiting hand. I take the first step. And I am on my way. Well, you can see it also applies this week as well. So I laid a foundation, and you're beginning to see that so often as I introduce these tools for the times, I talk from where the paradigm has been, because there's still the energetic influence. See, outside of the confines of this call, or outside of the space, it's not a confine, outside of the space of this call, as you do your moments of living in other environments, you find that all those things are still, in a sense, alive and well out there, influencing how you are in your moments. And it's too easy sometimes to forget the whole process of what we've been working on just to, quote-unquote, fit in. Fitting in, obviously, is that comfort zone chaos where it's hardly worth it anymore. The price of fitting in, the price of having our comfort zone well-maintained, it just robs too much of the potential for living fully and freely and juicily. So, to me, it's not worth it anymore. That doesn't mean I'm running amok, but what it does mean is that I'm recognizing as moments come into my life that oftentimes may be a stretch that would pull me what heretofore was my comfort zone, to pull me out of that. It's like, yeah, let's see what happens. So off we go. Let's go over to the other side underneath that little precious one in the stars there that we all have been. We'll do a couple of these songs. Need another phone here. Okay. The second one there. Ask and I shall receive, calling my guides, come forth teachers, willingly go within, I listen, universe, help me fill my dreams. Two more times, ask and I shall receive, calling my guides, come forth teachers, willingly go within, I listen, universe, help me fill my dreams. One more time, ask and I shall receive, calling my guides, come forth teachers, willingly go within, I listen, universe, help me fill my dreams, help me fill my dreams, help me fill my dreams. So this underscores the truth that of the necessity in this dimension specifically. I'm not remembering outside of this little plane of existence whether this is necessary or not, but we have to ask for help. See, there is no intervention that can happen except for the guardian angel. And that is in cahoots with the deeper realization that we want to stay on, that we want to stay on the planet. So a lot of people are programmed to not ask for help. And as we look at that process a little bit later tonight, we'll see, you know, there's some significant resistance in the way of that. And there are paradigms and belief systems and patterns that are in place that steer us mightily away from that very thing. So just above that, there's another one where the recognition of the angelic energies and the etheric beings that are around is actually quite important to opening oneself up. It's interesting that some religions that are so very restrictive in terms of the forms and their conduit to the source, being in the priesthood, etc., are willing to have all kinds of graven images and carvings of angelic energies. It seems to have been somewhat of a contradiction through the years as these divine beings and these esoteric beings are being given homage, and yet at the same time we are told that we don't have access to them.
It's almost like, how stupid do you think people are? Well, the really, that's an honest statement, because for a long time, we, incarnation after incarnation, have chosen stupidity over a deeper inner knowing. And maybe it was a threat of death, maybe it was just the loss of a feeling of safety, whether it was just the debris of living that kept us stuck. There we are, and there we stayed.
Angel, circle around my life. Gently whisper the words, bathe me in pure light.
I'll sing a verse.
Not a moment passes, not a breath goes by. I hear the blessed angels sing their lullaby. Wrap me in protection and lift me up so high. Dance the days away at my side.
We say,
angel, circle around my life. Gently whisper the words, bathe me in pure light. Angel, circle around my life. Gently whisper the words, bathe me in pure light. Angel, circle around my life. Gently whisper the word, bathe me in pure light. Not a moment passes, and not a breath goes by. I hear the blessed angels as they sing their lullaby. Wrap me in protection and lift me up so high, and dance the days away at my side. To dance the days away at my side.
So, the point of having new information to conceptually that comes in that basically forms and focuses, functions, that's it, functions as paradigm busters, is that, again, and I'll remind you, it's the core of the course, is that it reawakens a deeper inner knowing that is yours and yours alone, and yet it is all of ours. We all contain the knowing, and the process of getting new information that resonates at a higher frequency is what triggers the willingness and the inner willingness and the inner capacity to take action to replace the old belief system and therefore create a different reality, just by the very nature of the law. So by saying that not a moment passes, not a breath goes by, I hear the blessed angels sing their lullaby, wrap me in protection, lift me up so high, and dance the days away at my side. Dance the days away at my side. It's a recognition that it's as natural as taking a breath in to know that we are not alone. In a fear-based culture that we all have grown up in and incarnated in multiple times, we are taught to believe that we, in a sense, are isolated beings, and that was the purpose of cutting off the connection with Creative Source. When fear is implanted, it creates dependency. When dependency is making expression and making itself seen and known, we're easily prone to give away power and capacity and do what we're told in exchange for the illusion of safety. And it's happened so much that parts of us have went, well, it's just the way it is. And yet just below those parts, which are surface elements, there's a deeper coding that is being activated naturally in these times by divine intervention, but also through courses like what we're doing here. So the truth is the old paradigms cannot simply survive anymore. everything that we have been exposed to up till now in this course and in other things that you have learned of higher frequency will not allow you to go back and be the old lump on the couch, so to speak. Ignorant, unaware, and perfectly fine with just twiddling your thumbs away. Now, I'm not painting a picture of what I know of your previous experiences, but I'm just using that for an example. So by knowing that there are angels abound and angels around, as well as other energies and systems here for us by design, allows me to lose and to let go of the noose of aloneness. And that's huge. Because in that frequency of realizing that I am connected, I am then able to make decisions about how to either embrace or say no to elements that really don't serve me anything beyond a temporary moment of safety. This is where power comes from. It's one of the elements that we're calling upon as we open up to the variations of guidance that will be revealed over the next couple, these next two sessions. It ain't just praying to the big one in the sky. It ain't just calling an angel in. There is oh so much more. And we've touched on it in so many of these elements of the Course. So now we realize that we have to ask for support and help, which asking for support, help, guidance, inspiration, answers, direction, all of those things are relevant and necessary in contacting the angelic force or the guidance force that is there for us. It's not necessarily going to just drop in, although at times we do get drop-ins in the terms of aha, inspirations that seem to be triggered. But as we shall see in the big picture, the inspiration themselves are coming through the frequency, oftentimes of the natural world, that is really there to support us, through an animal being, through the manipulations of their higher self to put us in position with the right person, the right conversation, the right billboard, the right this, the right that, to trigger the deeper inner knowing that then gives us automatically and in a moment of aha the direction we were seeking. The more conscious we are about doing this, the more we find it serves us. And thus the third chant here, which is calling, and it's called calling. Calling in the spirits of the earth. Give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors. Give me knowledge and clear the way. Calling in the angel guardians. Watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers. Bring me wisdom and show the way. I am ready. I am ready, I am ready. Calling in the spirit of the earth. Give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirits of the ancestors. Give me knowledge, clear the way. Calling in the angel guardians. Watch my back, keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers. Bring me wisdom, show the way. I am ready. I am ready. I am ready. One more time. Calling in the spirits of the earth. Give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors. Give me knowledge, clear the way. Calling in the angel guardians. Watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers. Bring me wisdom, show the way. I am ready. I am ready.
have.
Up, so to speak.
We're definitely in a process now because we said, I am ready. If you were singing along with that, you have staked your claim and you have indicated that the energies that are waiting to come in, that you're ready to receive. Hallelujah. Should I have told you that before we did that song? Oops. Oops. So, be present with that and realize that some of the tools we've had so far are the perfect elements to go ahead and set the frequency. See, in following guidance and opening up to the higher energies, whether they be earthly energies or whether they be angelic energies or farther beyond that, it's important to tend our boundaries. It's important to stay in a place where we keep our frequency intact so that we cannot be distracted by lower frequency energies, and that way we can access, hear clearly, and access, and then put into utilization the guidance that does come through. So we call upon the, you know, Protection Tool 101, which is your name, your birth name, that will be spoken out loud. In so doing, remember that it calls you down to your source. It calls you to your original template. It brings you back and triggers all the cellular memory for that moment in time of your grand and beautiful design. It also surrounds you in that cocoon, that sphere of white, golden, violet flame light that is there to keep your vibration purring at the frequency that is your wholeness. And then thirdly, it is a direct call that all of the angelic, etheric, and guardian energies aligned to the frequency of your I am that I am expressing as you are at your beck and call. It's a beautiful beginning to every prayer and every beseechment, every affirmation, every one of those elements. If you speak your name, you set a frequency of openness and awareness and knowledge that has to be tended to by the cosmos. It's the law. I love saying that. It's the law. So, let's speak the name seven times. We'll honor those seven directions. Places from whence we can get insight. Take a breath. Here we go. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 And so it is, and so it is. Become aware of your feet. Become aware of also your bottom of the chair, if indeed you're in a chair. Become aware of your connection with the earth on all levels. Be aware of the top of your head, raising your hand up, or at least being aware of that, where the soul star is at the point where your hand is up there. Right below your feet, the earth star connection. We're going to go ahead and bring a conduit of energy and light coming down through the top, straight through that soul star, into the crown, down through the third eye, through the throat, and down into the heart itself. And then we release it, sending it right back out the top. And at the same time, as we pull the life force in, we bring it up through the earth star, up through the perineum, through the sacral, through the solar plexus, into the heart. Bring it up there, mixing with the energy from the celestials, and it basically we send it back out down the bottom. One more cycle of bringing it in from the top, sending it out the top. One more of bringing it in from the bottom and sending it out the bottom. So in. And out from the earth, and out. This time, bring it in from the cosmos, bring it in through the soul star, and have it come to the heart, and then we exhale. When we let it go, it travels down into the earth. Breathe in, through the crown, down to the heart, and we release back down into the earth with all of that vital force. Then from the earth, we pull the energy up into the heart, letting it sweep in there, filling up that space. And then as we exhale, we send the energy straight out the top of the crown into the soul star to be dispensed into the cosmos. One more round of those, breathing in and out through the bottom. In through the bottom. To the heart, and then releasing through the crown, This time from both directions simultaneously, coming down through the crown, through the Earth Star, from the Earth Star, coming up through the Earth, I'm sorry, through the Soul Star, then up through the Earth Star, into the perineum there, and up through the chakras to the heart. They meet at the middle. Breathe in. Feel that expansion. And release the mixture of the energies in both directions. And another in. And out. Okay, so what we've done is prep our energetic field for the processing information that's coming in tonight. This is a beautiful, beautiful part of the experience in that I'm remembering back again to Indiana Jones movie, the Ark of the Covenant, when they opened it and there was Indiana Jones and whoever the woman was in the movie at a stake, and they said, "Don't look," when they opened it up, and the German soldiers opened it up, and each of them, with the sheer energy of that, it disintegrated their being because they couldn't handle it. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. That's kind of what was going on there. Again, the stuff that we're talking about that seems to just fly right off the cuff, that we can talk about over conversation and coffee at coffee tables, you name it, really is stuff that not long ago was information that was inaccessible to the masses. But again, the collective vibration and the divine intervention have combined to raise the frequency enough, not only of the humans, even the sort of unknowing humans and the ignorant ones, as so to speak, as well as the earth itself. So no one is immune from becoming aware. So, what does it all mean? I don't know. Well, let's go ahead and look at guidance. What is guidance? The cosmos is teeming with life and oscillating energies that are in constant motion, morphing from form to form to fulfill the intentions of the host of beings who populate the far reaches and dimensions. Suffice it to say that we are always in flow. Change is the constant that seeds and embellishes our moments. It is pointless to be in fear of the design. That is a learned mistake. But it is the fear that pushes many to isolate internally and externally. Feeling alone is a controllable state by anyone in power. So we collectively have reached a place where we must take stock of what is and always has been true. We are not alone. The substance of the universe is love, and that frequency washes our cells and bodies from within and without. The interconnectedness is everywhere, and we all, whether aware of or not, feel it deeply. When the truth runs up against the crumbling paradigm, there is chaos. Welcome to these times. Guidance is available 24/7 from a myriad of sources and forms. The world as a whole is at the crossroads of collectively choosing to embrace the greater vibration that is reawakening us to the interconnectedness of all. To force isolation in the midst of the river is certainly counterproductive. Openness is what is called for now. Dismantling personal walls and paradigms will reveal the host of energetic beings who are and always have been there for you and me. Today is the best day to claim this and cross the threshold of fearful separation into the fertile field of together and here for you and me and all. We are designed energetically and physically to receive vibrational guidance in the form of energy, thought, intuition, sensory image, inspiration, and archetypal restimulation. Oh, goodness. We have the inner tools and capacities to receive multiple dimensions and time-space downloads of information incessantly if we so desire and allow. Again, we are not alone. Okay, take time to read back over that when you get a chance, because there's a whole lot of information there that is reawakening pieces of you as we speak.
guidance is not limited to a particular template or a voice that keeps speaking to us when we are sitting in a particular posture or position or in a certain area in the room in the certain chair, the same chair over and over, and we have a plant there and we have a picture of Krishna or whoever looking at us as we put our hands in a mudra form and access the guidance as we face south. Only at 4 a.m. or when the sun rises, when the first beams of light hit, that's certainly one way to do it. And if that's your way, wow, I'm pretty impressed. Having said all that, the 60s songs from the Seeds, it went, you're pushing too hard, you're pushing on me, you're pushing too hard at what you want it to be. Come on. It's really very simple. It's as natural as the breath. It's very simple. Sure, rituals can help. They can help get a focus going to push the monkey mind, as the Buddhists say, out of the way. And it allows us to experience something by having a vehicle to push the stuff away in the meantime. But to get stuck in a routine and a ritual, quite honestly, I think is counterproductive. It won't be long till we become bored with our routine. How many of you bought a mantra from the Maharishi? And then we're told never to share it under penalty of God knows what. And then when 20 years later people found their mantras and started sharing, they realized that most of them got the same mantra. Interesting. I don't know. These forms, these religious forms and these spiritual practices, they just get a little too out of alignment. That really wasn't even in this section that I was saying, but that was just triggered there and realizing that some of us have struggled with the idea that I don't have a regular meditation practice. I just have trouble doing this certain thing. Well, amen. Then you do a variety of things. And then you have the adventure of the moment to see how it is you're going to tune into your source, tune into spirit. Today it might be just riding the sound of the bird who sat right outside the window. And then tomorrow it's going to be sunrise that you suddenly got up to see. Or the sound of the raindrops falling on the window or on the porch. Or the sound of the garbage truck going by at 5 a.m. in the morning, waking up the neighborhood, giving you a moment to have a thought and to step out of a dream that was actually worth remembering. And there it is. See, it's natural. More on that later. But here's the deal. Except for our own personal frequency and lifetimes based guardian angel who will intervene on our behalf as needed, we ask for guidance, as I said earlier, and then be open and willing to receive it when it comes. A lot is involved here. First, as in most of the tools, times elements, is the foundational need for consistent awareness of the bigger picture within and without. This awareness then opens a door to asking. The greater the awareness, then the more sources, as we shall see, become available. Though they are always there, just beyond our current vibrational level. It is the willingness to reach out and ask that jumpstarts the process. If you've ever been out in the very early morning hours before the sun comes up, you start to notice that the more light that comes in, you begin to see shapes where all before there was appeared to be nothing there except the darkness. Next thing you know, you're beginning to see the outline up in the sky, the elements perhaps of the trees or the rocks or the mountains or a building or whatever it is. And slowly they begin to take shape. Slowly you begin to get the forms of what is there. This is kind of the process that we're going through as we begin to access our guidance. The challenge of being an adult and stepping into new ways of doing things is that we get too impatient too quickly. We can. Whereas a child is immersed in the process and they love each tiny incremental step in getting something new and learning a new skill or a new awareness, and they love repetition. They want to do it over and over and over again. And they can do it and they can have fun with it and they make it playful and they put characters into it because that process puts it into their bones and their cells and their tissues and their sinews, all of those pieces. when an adult. Ah, damn it. It's too hard. Weak-willed muscles, a sacral and solar plexus chakras that have been peppered with woundings that just don't have the chutzpah currently. But all that can be fixed. All of that can be reclaimed because the design is way more powerful and capable than anything that has ever happened to any of us. So following this is the capacity to receive and be open. The known body senses expand and become reliable, continuing to ramp up the degree of sensitivity the more they are used. You heard this back in, when did I first hear this? Maybe it was psychology in freshman year in college, where there was a statement about how our senses are so dumbed down that we're hardly using any portion of these great windows to the cosmos that we have, because to have them do what they're supposed to do by design would be just too overwhelming for all of us kind of historically wimpy people. To be able to access the hearing and the sound of the sun rising in the sky would be awesome. And it could be a little too much. To see the vibrations that are contained in the seemingly solid elements like Van Gogh did, and then to be called crazy, I mean, those are the prices that were keeping the old ways in place. But every time we get a new frequency bit of information, the capacity of our senses expands a little bit more. We are sight-dependent in this culture, and because of that, we have the capacity to be overly critical and overly judgmental, not only of others, but of ourselves. That is a trait and the capacity that would be best tossed out with tomorrow's garbage. That's an easy thing to say. The patterns are in place. We call for guidance to expand our awareness of the what is. And in that awareness of the what is, it gives us the capacity and the credence and the foundation to begin to let go of things that we suddenly discern that are not reliable, useful, or even true anymore. And that's where change takes place in a very, very quick way. This is the point of the tool, fine-tuning the awareness to open the receptivity that leads willingly to action. Off we go. Let's go down to making contact, listening, and taking action. Calling in the spirits of the earth. Give me strength and give me energy, calling in the spirit of the ancestors. Give me knowledge, clear the way. Calling in the angel guardians, watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers, I am ready. I am ready, I am ready. Once you become aware of what is available to you, then you can move forth in conscious leaps of faith to establish communication on multiple levels with multiple sources. The cosmos is filled with options, as we shall explore. Nature provides the easiest entry into playing with guidance. You can feel the impact of the environment and the atmosphere that accompanies the setting you are in. Anything that comes in has information potential. It is necessary that you open to the greater expansion to see just how beautifully all of life serves you. This is huge. To realize that life serves instead of life victimizes changes the whole palette of possibilities. In the beginning, you may feel like you are making it up, so go ahead. Get into it. Really make it up. Make it affirmative. We're so programmed to think in compromise and bad things that it may feel uneasy to act as if life is an ally. But this leap of faith will pay dividends quickly, for life is indeed an ally. Once you start being open via baby step action, the design will trigger within you to become more aware and receptive to other forms of contact and communications. The animals and plants may begin to offer messages via feeling, sound, sensation, or voices. Open up to talking freely with whatever you come into contact with, for there are no random events. Your higher self is orchestrating your clearing and awakening. Do trust this. So everything has a message of sorts. Your heart must be receptive, even if your mind resists. So can you see the essentialness, the necessity to have opened heart and to work with that as well as all the other elements before we were actually able to tune into guidance? Some would think that you need to tune into guidance first to tell you how to do it. But I swear, and I swear by it, the idea that the energy that is unprocessed and released is a huge smokescreen. It's literally the Kingdom of Oz that surrounds the old guy. And that, in a sense, in retrospect, I had no idea how this thing was going to unfold. I just had a bunch of topics, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. And it's unfolded into something that has a real pathway to it. It literally is, you know, we don't even have to put, tokens on the path to remind us how we got here. This is as natural as anything that could ever be. The reawakening is a beautiful process that we're now beginning to take advantage of because we have cleared enough debris. And why it is necessary for each of us to continue the process of clearing on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, to not retain anything. I mean, if you're going to brush your teeth, you might as well brush the rest of you on the inside, as if you were taking yourself and turning yourself inside out and shaking you over the banister so that all the debris falls off. Oh, that we could do that. Energetically, we can, and it is what we are doing. Once you start being open, I've already said that, the chakras come quickly into play as they are the direct conduits of dimensional energy. The backside of the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chakras are all highly receptive to higher frequency, pure forms of cosmic guidance. Blockages between the back and the front are what causes the information to become compromised. We shall work with this. Your physical and other energy bodies function as energetic radar to sense and feel the world, sending downloads of relevant information to the heart, gut, and brain centers to assist us in adjusting our energies to the aligned flow. Again, body awareness opens up the doors to feeling the guidance. At first, it may feel as if you are losing it. Well, you are losing the ignorance and the resistance and the misinformation that has misled you far too long. A lot of people use those words. I'm afraid I'm going to lose it, man. Oh, I fell apart. I couldn't stand it. I fell apart. God, when what's really going on? I know it's tough in the middle of that when we lose our capacity to control and keep all of the little, the parts of the eggshell all together. But that's the key to the kingdom, is to allow ourselves to fall into those places and know that we come out the other side cleansed and renewed and filled with a greater capacity to be fully present in the moment, freed of the debris, freed of the junk that kept the patterns in place. The chakras are critical elements in this process. It gives us an actual physical and energetic tool to keep the mind occupied. And it's visceral enough that we can actually notice the results of the work that we do. If indeed my guidance and the level of guidance comes through my tending and my self-care, I'm going to want to make that a pretty important element of my daily moments. Self-care isn't just about, proper this and proper that. It is monitoring the moments with a part of your being that says, hey, do I want this in my life? And if I did have it, I want to clear that energy quickly before I move on. Sahirapna, sahirapna. Clear, clear, So conscious contact, and this is an aside, making contact is about consciously choosing to do so. The choice to make contact is based upon the idea of the greater awareness that more exists than we have been told about. And then it has an element about it that causes you to consciously take risks and take action that may cause social ostracism or judgment from those on the outside who just don't get it. It's not an easy room to walk into in terms of all of that other stuff. But I swear, the minute you walk in the door, all of that will be forgotten. For one who has lived, me, born in isolation, really, born in an incubator, as soon as I was taken from my cozy home, knocked out of the crib, in a sense, and I was put in the incubator, I've been doing that dance ever since in one way or another. And really, it is my connection with the guidance, my connection with the years of being unaware of that, but really, it has really kept me in a place where I can continue to be open to like infinite possibilities that show up. And sometimes I stumble and fumble and fall, and I have to hug pillows in the middle of the night there to make it through, because those visceral elements are still there, processing and releasing. And it feels funny at times to make contact. It feels comical. It feels like, God, I'm going crazy. Well, if you don't answer yourself, then everything will be okay. I mean, these stories that abound through cultures and whatnot about people going crazy. In other words, they're choosing to stop being normal. They're choosing to step out of the comfort zone and realize that there's oh so much more. It's a conscious choice to make that contact to open up to the what is possible. Worst case is there's nothing there, and indeed we're all alone. All right, well, I got that. But it ain't so. So to make contact first is then to open the door to the capacity to give us the opportunity to listen. We're used to listening with our hearing mechanism and then interpreting based on our own personal programmings, beliefs, paradigms, energetic residue, a host of established and fear-based filters to keep us doing our shit, comfort zone stuff. This is where we must open to our greater capacity to hear energetically. What do you feel? Where does that sensation reside in your body upon hearing this? What is this thing saying? What is this vibration saying? First thought. Always the first thought. That's the rich. That's the truth. Nothing else needs to be said. We live in a fear-based world that is about control, compromise, and acquiescence and giving up to the false veil of safety. As long as you hold to that perspective, then the guidance will be muffled and likely not be heard at all. My daughter was putting together a little component stereo system for her Netflix setup. And it was kind of dark in the room, and so she did the best she could to plug everything in, and then all she heard was kind of a muffled sound like this. Just a real low voice, and really like that. And so she was hearing really just the bass speaker. All the low frequencies were kind of unintelligible, but you kind of could get it, and it was just not very loud or anything. And just by shedding a little light on it and looking at the instructions, she was able to realize that, lo and behold, there was another place to plug something in, which was the satellites that brought in the high end, and all of a sudden the glorious sound was there. See, our filters are the elements that keep us from hearing the guidance that is there 24/7. Now, I'm not saying that hearing voices and making sure that you have something to talk to in that kind of a way is something that we want to go about doing all day long, although it may be. I haven't done that yet. But I like a little bit of balance, a little bit of peace, and little bit of like, you know, go away, leave me alone for a while. I'm gonna do my human, my earthly life. I want to just do what I do. And then when I need guidance, or if you got something to say, I'll listen. So we use discernment in developing our tools. So you realize on one hand, the human voice is such a beautiful component of the process of listening as well. There's a nerve that runs down through the inner ear that then eventually goes down all the way and touches the major organs, every major organ on the way down towards the root. That's called the vagus nerve, baby. The Las Vegas nerve. And this is the thing that is stimulated, and it needs, in order for it to work and to tone the system, which it is designed to do, it needs stimulation through the frequency of the human voice. Your voice is tuned to the frequency that stimulates the nerve most consistently. So you can see that in the process of shutting yourself up, you're not only having to experience a swallowing of all of those old energies, but you're also realizing that you are not stimulating your body to be in its purring capacity. By the very nature that you're not getting enough stimulation into your vagus nerve. Interesting stuff, isn't it? Interesting how everything seems to correlate to one another. The interrelationships are profound. They're just profound. And in that profundity, it is so exciting and so beautiful and so inviting and so adventurous. It's like the sense of wonder is reawakening. It's the capacity to go, wow, what else is there? What else? What else? The point of the voice and listening is that eventually we want to reach a point where we have conversation. It's not either or. It's a mutual exchange. And the dance of sharing with the cosmic sources, whether they be animal, mineral, vegetable, etheric, you name it, is about engaging in conversation and engaging in exchange and life. And that's what we're really moving towards here. To make guidance and to make the interaction with guidance as natural again as taking a breath is a beautiful thing. You go about your moments talking to the world, talking to things. That's what it is, and then you listen for responses. I told you that when I was sitting here one day in the day, and a blackbird, or it was a crow or a raven, one of those, one of the big guys came in, and he was just right outside the window, and I heard him go, like he was talking. It's like I dropped my pencil and went, what the heck is that? And it's like he was using his voice, and I had never heard that. All I heard is the screeches and the other crow. It was so cool. I know on those frequencies of what he was saying or she was saying, there was information for my cells, and I drank it in because it got my attention. So I did what any normal New Age guy would do, which basically said, thanks, man. Love talking to you. And away he went. A moment delivered to me that had really significant substance to it. And I may not even know what it is to this day. Listening involves the ears, the heart, the lower chakras, your history, your desires, your intentions, your dimensional history, your incarnational decisions. In other words, it's a big deal. You understand what I'm saying on that? Listening is using the, it's not just the mechanical process of hearing a vibration as it touches the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup, then sends it up through the optic nerve. It is oh so much more. It is realizing that there are filters and veils and experiences and history and learnings and losses and energetics that mechanical vibration must make its way through before actually meaning is discerned from it. Too many people forget that and they're stuck in their ways and they won't even entertain new possibilities. How sad. I know it personally. How sad. I've been there. So frightened by my moments that I needed to hold on to what was untrue. And for that period of time, the untruth was way more valuable to me than learning something else. Thank God I moved through that one. Your cells, okay, you receive much more than you hear. Your cells are in constant contact with the ethers and the earth and your own oscillating DNA. Say yes to life and open up. Start the communication by asking for help and guidance. Receive and share in conversation. The answers arrive just before you formulate your response. Pay attention and let go of the pattern of formulating what you say before or as the communication comes in. In the flow, you can ride the moment's edge to deliver accuracy and honesty. You can see that you are in developing many muscles of trust. You are developing many muscles of trust, calling upon your untapped and dormant resources to activate and function at their prime capacity. It's a spiraling dance that delivers mightily, and you must be a full and willing participant. You must. So do you hear what I said about that design? Right now, we're in this process as we get, you know, earning our wings in terms of communication, where there's an exchange that goes on. There's a delivery, a pause, information comes in, it's processed, another delivery goes out, and then one comes in, back and forth, back and forth. So there is a physical slowness to that capacity. The more you tune into guidance, the design kicks in, so it's almost telepathic. There's a simultaneous connection and a knowing of what is going on from both parties. In a sense, it's akin to what the new generations are bringing in terms of the kids, so many kids with autism. Autism is like a whole sea of brilliant beings who don't have the need to talk anymore. They literally are communicating with one another on very deep and profound and etheric ways in the moment. I can't back that up with research. I'm not sitting in a room filled with autism. But I'm just passing on what I'm beginning to see that is true, and I know that the proof of that is just down the corner, around the corner. This is not a haphazard victim-oriented process that's occurring on the planet. It is something of very significant and high vibration that is being delivered by the new generations coming in. Got to be a fool not to see that something in such a large scale doesn't have a greater meaning. Once again, the Piscean mode is to see things through fear first and to be afraid of getting out of the norm. Stop it. Stop it. That's to all of us. That is so much a waste of time. To listen, you must be able to turn off the distractions. This involves turning off the mind chatter, replacing diminished thoughts with affirmative ones, replacing patterns of negative mantras with true statements that activate your inner wisdom and capacities. So get quiet and pay close attention to the place where you are. The revelations are awaiting your focus. The focus becomes an energetic signature that triggers a download. Do you hear what I'm saying? Where you put your attention starts the process. The power of that attention and your focus triggers a response in whatever it is you're focusing on. The guidance and communication begins with that focus. Invite the guidance to store somewhere in your energetic field so you can access it later. You've heard of mudras. It's positions of the hands that are in related to a form of yoga, but it's also a way to recognize the energy systems of the body, and it's also in neurolinguistic programming, how you hold and you trap an energy there, and then you can bring it back to memory by replicating the movement. These mudras are working with the meridians and opening up and aligning certain meridians and all of that. So why not use those as, in a sense, memory banks? So I'm having an inspiration and an insight comes in and I get it and I put together two fingers and hold it there while I'm getting the information. And then when it's done, I release that. When I put my fingers back together, the memory will reveal itself again, even if I don't even remember what the heck it was. We have access to those kinds of things. It says, using a mudra of your creation. Sure, you can get books. I've got three of them on the correct mudras and the correct way to hold yourself with your hands like this. And I love it. And I also know that sometimes my hand wants to do something that's not one of the correct mudras, and I get something from it. Again, it's an inner wisdom that we are basically being invited to follow. Using a mudra of your creation will seal the information to reveal when you recreate the neurolinguistic program device. Also consider taking notes, making a stream of consciousness recording, or moving while you're receiving, because that stores the information more fluidly in the cells. You get that? This is why schools are so tragic. It's why the classrooms and the kids are all just hands folded, staring at the front of the room, teacher delivering the information. Those are dead zones. Organic classrooms that have permission for kids to move with this, some restrictions and respect for one another's space or what has revolutionized certain classrooms. We are not designed to sit still, for God's sakes. Everything is in motion. See how so many things come up as we look at these elements. Take notes, making a stream of consciousness recording, moving when you're receiving, okay? We are used to dumbing down and chastising our inner resources for doing what they have been taught. We're just doing what we were told because we bought into it. So, theme of the night, stop it. Stop it now. All right, guidance. It's just guidance without action. We have to take action on it. That doesn't mean that it has to turn out the way we want it, as we'll see here. Not all guidance requires action or at least immediate action. Some does, however, and as such must be acted on in a now-based leap of faith. Do you hear that? A now-based leap of faith. It's like without hesitation. Bada-bing. There you are. Whoa, that was good. Whoa, that didn't work. Both have value. Trusting the guidance requires that you get going. This will prime the pump for the good stuff. Once you've showed up to you, then your guides and teachers and allies will really begin to extend the long arms of support. Right now, some of this fledgling stuff is just testing the waters. It's like, how are you open, grasshopper? Are you open? Are you willing to trust what I say? Well, I don't know. Let's see what happens. Use discernment rather than judgment in embracing the guidance. See how it feels when you put it on. In some cases, you will not know how it feels until you actually take action. Then it makes the cellular and tissue adjustments that open new vistas and provide necessary feedback. You will then be able to make conscious adjustments and take action again. Remember that some guidance is simply to plow up the fertile ground and plant a seed. I think I meant seed, but that's an interesting idea. Plant a seed. A simple trigger to making some kind of energetic move that will invite in a whole new frequency flow of people, places, and things. Do you get that? I believe you do. Things aren't as they appear. We had that in one of those beautiful lessons long ago. Nothing is as it seems. So let me take the experience, and it looks like this, but let me put it into motion and see what happens with it. I'm taking the guidance and then sending and going with it where it's leading me, and then I realize that the whole point was to get me off my seat so that I could plant a seat. The dance is improvisational. Trust this and ride the waves. It is beautiful and an exhilarating place to live. Shed the resistance. Every step forward dismantles the old patterns. Please, trust those words, because that's what happens. See, nothing can withstand the light. And the light is the awareness that takes you out of restrictive patterns and restrictive beliefs. That doesn't mean you end up usurping and running over everyone and running amok through the China shop, causing chaos where people grab their children because you're coming. No, it only means that you are in your presence and power, and that allows you to show up in a frequency that inspires everything it comes in contact with. And that doesn't mean that you're elevated and celebrated, although that could happen. But mostly it just means that people like to be around you because they feel themselves when they're there. They feel at home with that energy. All you're doing is passing the baton. But it's a baton that a little bit is left behind. Enough is left behind all the time. So we retain it. This dimension is about flexibility, oscillating in a random way that reveals you just as your higher self directs. And I said that purposely in a random way, because it's far from random, but it appears so, it looks like it, but it really is directed by higher self. As we look into that section next week, we're going to see just how that higher self is working things. You can call it soul self. There's a whole lot of stuff going on in there. Then we're going to go back into the cryon work, you know, that channeled work about the DNA, because it's all so relevant. It is so vital in understanding, or at least having an entryway into this new beautiful hall that is awaiting us. At some point, you become the guidance, and it will seed your action spontaneously and without question or hesitation. This will be a sure sign that you are home. Drink that in. At some point, you become the guidance, and it will seed your action spontaneously and without question or hesitation. It's as if the question arises at the same time the answer does. They cross in the ethers simultaneously. So there is no time and space in between the manifestation of the idea or the inspiration. This is exciting. This is exciting. And as far as I can see, it's the way it is. So let's take 12 minutes and get into the earthly kingdoms here. What appears solid is not. The cosmos is in constant vibration. Each atom is in contact with the whole. The forms are the reflection of an intention and a melding with an energetic form given birth in the long ago. You send out an intention, some amorphous form that's been floating around for a period of time gets magnetically drawn to it, and together they create a form that is in reflection to what it is that you intended. And it holds its shape for as long as it needs to hold its shape, until the focus shifts and then it disintegrates into the amorphous energies that float around. All is temporary and invites you to consciously surrender to gain the knowledge of the way it is. That's not too hard now, is it? The earth is showing up to be the most incredible and perfect playground for the great awakening going on within and without. She is a symbiotic being aligned with the collective vibration of humanity. She influences mightily and in turn influences, you get the idea, I got to reword that. She influences and is influenced. As a perfect reflection of the state of the inner union, she reflects that in the microcosm and the macrocosm of the now that is laid before you and you and you in just the best personal way to trigger your own remembering. Good grief, what a design. So you understand that the trigger that is being put out by the event, whether it's an earthly event or anything else, is the perfect reflection that triggers the inner and the outer at the same time. And although it's coming from the same frequency, the meaning of it, the application of it, is different for you and you and you and me. Wow. All of the kingdoms are here to support the remembering. It is an arrangement. That is not meant to be abusive, but will move with humans, encouraging the inevitable outcome of each returning home to the inner knowing of the I am that I am. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's all this talk about we're destroying the planet. I don't think so. I think what's happening is we're destroying ourselves. And in a sense, the big picture is that we're destroying the old paradigm so that we have a beautiful opportunity to finally survive and to thrive. The Earth is certainly not going to stand for the process, because all it has to do is shake its body like a doggy getting out of the water, and then we're history. It ain't going to happen. But what it is, let me go on here. I think I said it. All the kings are here to support the remembering. It's an arrangement that is not meant to be abusive. It's important that it's not meant to be abusive, but the fact that it is under some circumstances is understood, is what I'm wanting to say here. we start portraying things. It's like making God a human, and we start giving the human God, you know, judgments, feelings, et cetera, to personify that energy so that we can understand it, or better yet, manipulate it for our own purposes. That's what occurs, and that is what occurred and still occurs. But that's not what it is. There's a deeper understanding through the oneness, that connection of all things, that things need to happen in order to stir the pot. Things need to happen in order to get new perspectives. And so much of that is what's going on, and is what I'm talking about right here. As the perfect reflection of the state of the inner union, she reflects that in the microcosm and the macrocosm of the now that is laid before you. The earth reflects the human frequency over and over. Certain areas are prone to storms and floods and fires. I wonder what the people are like that live there. I wonder what the level of repression or the level of outrage or whatever is there that contributes to the frequency that is reflected in that arena. That's what I'm saying. The mineral kingdom of the rocks and the soil are about foundation and substance, the very makeup of our being. It is there to assist in keeping us grounded and in balance to be able to face the moment's forms with all of our faculties. It carries strong vibration. It is a source of physical food for all of life, no matter the size or shape. Seeking guidance from the earth is to unite in powerful, sustainable relationship that feeds, cleanses, and clears. The earth is evolving with us, and as such, influences our evolving. The elemental kingdoms are built into the frequency of the earth, for she is the umbilical cord to the lifeblood of each. Each kingdom has purpose. Knowing the purpose allows you to contact and seek guidance as necessary. There is the deep earth energy, the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the elementals, including dwarves, fairies, sylphs, undines, fire tenders, etc., the animal kingdom, and the winged ones. Briefly, a bit about each. The deep earth ones are very low in frequency vibration, but are like the energetic furnace of the planet. They serve to formulate the power substance that establishes gravity and physical law. They work specifically with us through the earth star chakra, feeding us with undiluted power and taking our energetic debris and then forging it back into the substance of physical life. Seeking guidance here is about getting back into the body and calling forth the visceral and cellular forces to maintain the necessary form. And of course, most people run away from this because they've stored so much hurt and woundings down there that the last place they want to go in to is the tenderness. And the tenderness lies between the full awareness and the engagement of the system and the mighty, mighty power that is forming from the core of this planet through these very low-frequency elemental kingdom that I'm just talking about here. The mineral kingdom is the soil and the rocks. The soil is the weathered life-influenced substance of the rocks and minerals. Life forces form the stones and impact the minerals with the very substance of the energetic frequencies of life at their point or phase of creation. Do you hear that? It's like putting a program into a stone, and over the time that it was created, it sustains the frequency and the message that was given it at the time of that manifestation of it. They are record and timekeepers, providing specific repeatable program energies for you and for me. They are consistent and highly energetic, impacting the senses as well as the etheric bodies with universal information about the true nature of things. Go to the minerals when you seek guidance about your past, about your direction, about your basic needs. They show up when you are needing them. A walk on any beach or in the outdoors will deliver the guidance you need. Pick up the stones that attract you and walk with them in your left hand. Some will deliver right away and get left behind. Others will find their way into your pocket to keep delivering. Please give them sunlight directly on their skins often. This revitalizes them and amplifies the power of their message. And I'm akin to and kind of calling it the old guy walks the beach and gathers stone phase, because I've actually had that happen over the last year. My whole banister area out here in the porch is nothing but these stones on them. And wherever I go now, I've got stones. So I used to get stoned, but now I have stones. So it's cool to evolve and to become aware like that. The elementals are the anamorphic, and I think that's a word, the living expressions of the air, water, fire, earth, and ether. Nature spirits abound and are currently just out of the direct perception of most humans. Too much programmed fear for them to show just yet. Can you just see it? A bunch of you know, undines and sylphs and dwarfs and gnomes and fairies come out. All of a sudden, you know, here comes the National Guard. Kill first and then find out what it's about. They don't need that energy. Not now, that's for sure. But look into the forest and see them in the corner of your eye. Turn and they disappear for now. Turn towards them and they disappear for now. The earth elementals are the gnomes and the dwarves. Fire elementals are known as the salamanders. Air elementals are the sylphs. They look like pixies with gossamer wings. They frequent mountaintops in the wind. Water elementals are the undines, also known as the merfolk, thus the mermaid tradition. Each oversees a caretaking of the vibration of their kingdom. Accessing them all will benefit you beyond your imaginings and unite your whole self with the earth in a grand experience of flow, trust, and connectivity. In some ways, the Angelica Kingdom is the overseer of the etheric realm. This invisible to the naked eye spectrum field is the go-between between the worlds of earth and beyond. So the etheric realm is the unseen. It's where water goes when it's heated, so to speak. To know of these elementals is to realize that every piece of nature has an accompanying spirit with it. This is why in native traditions they made offerings. And the recognition that if you're going to do something to an area to modify it for your own use, you appreciate it and you bless it and give it great thanks. The arrangement is that it's okay. The arrangement is that the environment is here and all of its participants are here to support the human experience as the higher vibration. Unfortunately, that's devolved into an awareness that all we get to use it all up. And it, you can, you know, I don't need to go farther on that, but that is changing. All right, so here we go, the plant kingdom. Just two more things. Looks like we're going to finish just on time. The plant kingdom is such a beautiful nature design expression of mutual serving and cooperation. Plants give us the oxygen and food while we give them CO2 and fertilizer to sustain them. Wow. The devas are the fairies who oversee the plant kingdom. Children are often able to have conscious and active relationship with them. At about 7, the open veil closes by arrangement, and the conscious connection quickly diminishes. Treating the plants with love and support is akin to self-care. Their tolerance and sensitivity is infamous. The condition of your house plants often reflects your own level of self-care. Plants are healing, life-giving in multiple ways, and can induce peaceful states as well as hallucinogenic states. Their color is a vibrational wash of peace and calming stimulation. When you eat them, bless them, and give great gratitude for their sacrifice and support, they do not mind their role and are eager to offer you opportunities to learn how to love and nurture. Guidance. Guidance in so many forms is what we're looking at here. It's not all about sitting there with your hands in a mudra position waiting for stuff to drop in. The animal kingdom is the closest living being to being human. The variety is no accident. The forms and function reflects elements of our own capacity to live in variance. The historical forms of animals reflects the use and the agreements of both parties on higher levels. In the seeding days of the planet, as the correct forms were being created and liquidated, various combinations made entrance and became part of the lore. The minotaurs, which were the half-horse, half-human, I believe that's what they were. The unicorns, the leprechauns, dragons, cyclops, mermaids, dinosaurs, to name a few. The animal kingdom is here by arrangement in support of humans. They sacrifice their olives. Well, that's What a devoted thing to do. They gave me their olives. Okay, sacrifice their lives in a cooperative venture. The tendency toward abuse and cruelty is more an indictment of the traumatic inner life of far too many humans than a random act. As the vibrations clear, the actions will soften into mutual serving and respect. Animals reflect character and capacity and will often align with us as an ally or guide for our life or just for a moment. Seeking guidance with those animals you resonate with is powerful. Some of you may develop your power-animal relationship, while others may just stay open to all who visit the energetic space with a message or an inspiration or a directive. Domestic animals have a deeper, more heart-focused relationship with humans. They have taken the place of the dysfunctional relationship between humans and have provided outlets where one can practice love with an open heart. Please understand what I'm saying there. It's not that because relationships are strong, difficult between humans, so much so that people are just turning into islands, but that's kind of what's happening. But love cannot go unexpressed. It has to move. It has to be put somewhere. It has to be in the flow. And so especially cats, dogs, and other domestics, and if you have horses, if you have sheep, you know, some of the farm animals that create relationship with, it's just a magnificent part of staying in the love frequency. So, conscious relationship and contact with all of the Earth Kingdom significantly expands the experience of one's life. Open up, actively seek them out. Sing to them, call them forth, tell them stories, invite them to tea. In other words, be an open-hearted in spirit, innocent child with them. Open-hearted and open-spirited, innocent child with them. We all miss one another. So guidance is really about living consciously. And as we begin to see that there are just no accidents, if one chooses to become and believe that they are a victim of life, life will oblige. Absolutely. It's the law. If one chooses to realize about the deep interrelationships of all living things and how much interchange goes on and how much of the deep connection that amplifies the beautiful experience of life, then life will oblige. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to put the pieces together here. We are not alone. And in fact, that we have to ask for and seek guidance is to put our own energies into action by breaking through self-perceived limitations. So we have to get out there and do it. And we will realize that next week, as we finish this section up, that it is the moments of living that are so often the greatest teachers, because it's the spontaneous things that occur that give us the greatest opportunity for redirecting and reawakening. We're going to look at the higher self and how the DNA plays with that and how all of that is going on at deep levels within us and how it orchestrates the forms of life that show up. We'll look at the very specific high-frequency beings that are aligned to you and how you create a relationship with those. And then we'll also get a chance to play with some of the higher generic, if you will, higher frequency beings that are available for all and that put us into contact with that oneness soup. So you see, in a sense, there are levels of guidance that we can access and all have value. Because it's body that we're talking about, and because everything that we can do to get ourselves back into our body is what's necessary in these times. We are whole-bodied beings, and therefore we want to be in all parts. You can see that there's guidance for every single element of that. And it's in our hands to use it. When you do, you begin to inherit the true design of you and experience a dimension for what it was designed to do. And that is totally bitchin'. So we'll look at that. We'll do some activities next week based upon all of this, and we will continue to do that action. And I'll reveal what's at the bottom half of that picture. I know I will. And I just can't help but stop. I mean, I just keep looking at that little child there. Out in the stars like that. I think that's a beautiful picture. And would you not want to work with Mother Mary? Look at her. She's putting her hands out. Which way would you choose as you go down that road between the purple grass? Would you go to right or the left of the tree? And who can refuse Krishna? And this picture over here of the woman meditating almost looks like the central coast of California, place where I used to live, the Los Osos Valley. Put a medicine wheel up there and ushered in the end of the 80s and experienced, that's where I met my wife, Erin. She came to the event. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Guidance everywhere, constant. So what do you tune into? What are you willing to tune into? And how much are you willing to be open? The universe is going to deliver. It'll give you what you ask for. It's the law. I'm delighted to have served you tonight. I'm so apologetic about just some of the resistances that are occurring in this sort of Mercury retrograde time where computers and electronics are committing suicide right and left. So here we are. I think that I've resolved all the conflicts here, and I will have greater information for you and flesh this one out. It's a delight to be part of the process. I will be up in the Seattle area next week, and I'll be broadcasting from beautiful Renton, Washington, on WKRB, 50,000 watts. So, I'll stay on for a moment here and entertain any thoughts, perspectives, anything, and otherwise we're going to terminate this one. Many blessings to you, and really pay attention to asking for and also listening to and receiving guidance, and act on it. Blessings.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, can I call you in a few minutes on my land phone, on your phone?
You can. Make it
like
about 10 minutes.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
It's Nancy. It's something good. So I'll call you in 5 minutes on the land phone, okay?
Nancy, thanks.
Thank you.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good evening, Mark. This is Connie. How are you?
Hey, Connie.
I would just want to tell you I appreciate this evening, and also the checks in your mailbox, literally. I just...
It is. You came over, you dropped it off personally, all the way from Kingman.
Wherever I am.
Thank you so much. I just have been working on computers and haven't gotten out, and nor have I picked up those elements that were down there. So I look forward to doing that, and I'll take them on my trip with me.
The cards, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you will really love them. They're outstanding. Anyway, you have a safe trip and enjoy. And thank you again.
You bet. You take really good care.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye. Bueller? All right. We are done now. Endless blessings. That's that.